Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed the study that found that following a fatiguing exercise protocol, participants demonstrated increased anterior tibial translation, compressive force, and knee flexion range of motion during the transition from non-weight-bearing to weight-bearing. This illustrates an inability of the lower extremity muscles to stabilize the knee joint. An athlete is at greater risk for a non-contact injury, such as an anterior cruciate ligament tear, later in games. While it is believed that fatigue may play a role in an anterior cruciate ligament injury, little evidence exists to support this. If this can be verified, clinicians may be able to identify strategies to better train athletes to stabilize the knee joint in a fatigued state and limit the risk of sustaining a knee injury. Therefore, Schmitz and colleagues completed a cross-sectional study to assess the impact of a fatiguing exercise protocol on tibiofemoral biomechanics when transitioning from non-weight-bearing to weight-bearing. The researchers recruited 10 participants that were approximately 25 years of age, with no history of knee injury to the dominant leg. All participants were further screened by a certified athletic trainer to ensure that there were no lower limb dysfunction. All participants wore motion analysis sensors and were placed into the Vermont Knee Laxity Device to measure anterior tibial translation when a force of 40% body weight was applied to the bottom of the foot, which simulated weight-bearing. Three successful trials were obtained before and after a fatiguing exercise protocol. Fatigue was induced by having the participant perform a repeated leg press of 60% of their body weight for 15 repetitions with 10 seconds rest until the participant could no longer complete a full set. Overall, during the initial weight-bearing, the authors found a 6% increase in compressive force, a 28% increase in knee flexion range of motion, and a 22% increase in anterior tibial translation after the fatiguing exercise compared with before. The authors present interesting data to support the concept that knee joint biomechanics are altered in a fatigued state. Hence, an individual is less able to stabilize his or her joint during initial weight bearing when the lower extremity is fatigued. This suggests that physically active individuals may be at an elevated risk of an anterior cruciate ligament injury near the end of activity, as the muscles in the lower extremity are less able to stabilize the joint. Before this is confirmed, though, more research should be completed in a larger cohort, as well as to take into account participant activity levels to better understand the effects that training may have on this phenomenon. While more work may be needed, this study may be valuable to clinicians in the future in terms of activity modification, bracing, and training regimens to further increase knee joint stability while fatigued. Until this can be completed, clinicians should be observant for faulty mechanics in practice and competitions when fatigue is likely. Furthermore, clinicians may wish to discuss how to handle fatigued athletes with their sports medicine team to discuss if the athlete in question should be removed from activity, and if so, who is responsible for making this decision. This past week, we also had one other post on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. This post introduced a consensus statement on the team physician and strength conditioning of the athlete. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a study in which the authors concluded that athletes who sustain a concussion or other injury resulting in time lost from practice or competition need to be observed carefully for signs and symptoms that may indicate depression. If you have a question that you'd like us to address on this podcast, send us a message via social media. And remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.